Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 31 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Global Workspace Association. In this episode, I chat with Craig Bowdy, who is one of my favorite people. We share a birthday. He is founder of Creative Density, a coworking space in Denver, and he's been doing this for a while. He has some great experience around how to cultivate community in a shared workspace. He gives us some tips on how to facilitate without going overboard. And this episode and our next episode, number 32, focus on facilitating community in a shared workspace. So I created a downloadable cheat sheet with a list of the tips and insights shared by our guests. Craig in this episode and Chris Holt from Tech Artista in the next episode. So to get the cheat sheet, if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're walking the dog or walking yourself or hanging out at home, pull out your phone and text GWA2016, all one word, no spaces, to 44222. And then follow the instructions on your phone to get the download. So one more time, text GWA2016 to 44222. And then follow the instructions. Okay, on with our interview. Let's welcome Craig. Craig, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always so fun to catch up with you, and we've already done a little bit of catch up, and we thought we should hit record and let everybody listen into our conversation.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I love it every time.
I know. We always have good stuff to dig into. So Craig is the founder of Creative Density. I think the C threw me off there, which is in Denver, Colorado. It's a great space. Craig, before I talk about the space, I'll let you do that. Talk about why you started Creative Density and how you picked the space and the location.
Sure. So I started Creative Density because I discovered co-working pretty early on when I was living in Michigan back in 2009, 2010. I was working remotely as a market researcher out of a Chicago-based company. And I heard about co-working in Grand Rapids, Michigan when Steelcase was actually having their experiment co-working space called Croswell 654. And it was like $150 a month for 24/7 access. And it was exactly kind of what I was looking for as a remote worker. There really wasn't networking events or anything going on. It was a space designed for remote workers. So it was kind of this traditional co-working clubhouse feel of people walking in and just coming in and working and getting to know each other in a very kind of organic and natural way. And that's kind of all I needed. And that's all I wanted out of a co-working space. And at the time, co-working was not well known, but the business model was changing over the course of the next 3 years from that as they became more startup spaces. So I started Creative Density back in 2011 as coming from that mindset of a remote worker. And what I loved most about working at a co-working space as a remote worker, meaning like I really didn't need too many educational events. I didn't need formal networking events. I wasn't a freelancer trying to drum up business or maybe doing a startup and wanting to learn like every skill possible. A lot of that stuff was provided to me from my company. What I really wanted was that clubhouse feel of just coming in and hanging out with friends and helping each other out where we can. And that's kind of the approach that I took to Creative Density when I moved out here and got the space. And so we're still very much to that value, and we're about 80% remote workers here. So that kind of dictates what types of events we do, how we operate the business, what people come here expecting, our marketing message. We're very much that traditional co-working space, and I kind of take a step back. I want people to get to know each other in a very natural, organic way and not like through business cards or not through speeches and lectures of educating people. I really focus more on having people create that personal connection and creating friendships than doing an exchange of skills.
So when you say 80% are remote workers, you mean that they work for big companies?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's
really
interesting.
It might be a small company.
Okay.
But
they work for a company. They don't work for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting and somewhat unique, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it didn't used to be unique 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
It's just we kind of kept with that model. That in our space is only 10% private offices.
Yep.
So really 80, 90% co-working space, it kind of just lends itself mostly to the individual and not the team.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I just say that it's somewhat unique because I think there are a lot of folks who are sort of nervous about the corporate, in quotes, worker showing up at co-working spaces and how is that going to work? Because everybody, I think, has more traditionally over the past few years, to your point, it's been a little bit startup focused or freelancer focused. And everybody knows that, you know, the corporate population is coming because they're getting a lot more flexible. And, you know, just because they work for a big company doesn't mean they don't want to love the place that they work and get to choose, especially as distributed work becomes so much more common. So you started at Croswell, which is interesting because I know what that space looks like. So describe your space and your neighborhood, because I think that's a little bit unique too.
So this is kind of where, so Croswell 654 is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it was in a house. It was a converted house next to an ice cream shop.
Perfect combination.
Right. With like an ad agency that owned the building, some creative agency, and they worked mostly on top. And it was a really well done house. It was overall a house, and it kind of had some nooks and crannies and a few big rooms, and the bedrooms were converted into conference rooms and stuff. So that was kind of the inspiration. That was what I came from. And so Creative Density is kind of in this first ring of neighborhoods outside the downtown core of Denver. It's 9 blocks away from the downtown core and 9 blocks away from the state capitol. So we're in that first area of like residential neighborhoods. And we're in a 1920s Western house. It was actually a Sears Roebuck house. So I might walk into several other houses here in Denver and they all might have that similar feel of being ordered from the same catalog that year. And it was converted into an office about 30 or 40 years ago. So it's one of these old house that was refurbished and brought back to life as an office. Most of the rooms are around 250 square feet, and several of them are connected through French doors, where we ripped out the French doors. And so it kind of has this more airy feel with high ceilings, but it also provides those like quarter walls. They're full tall walls, but they only run into a quarter of the into the room. And so it still designates the space as kind of these smaller, intimate areas that you can still talk and walk through and speak to people between the rooms. But it kind of gives it this cozier feel and allows me to define the rooms to give each room kind of a different culture of if it's a louder room or a quiet room, or change with the paint colors to give it kind of more of a vibrancy or a cool down area or a relaxing room, or allows me to tuck away. We have a video game room off the kitchen now. That since they're smaller areas, it allows me to play around things a little bit more and open rooms up and close them as kind of the community votes on throughout the years. But yeah, it's an older house and we have 5 private offices and mostly in shared space.
Well, I've been there recently. I was there in October and it's just such a neat, yeah, different, unique culture. And I think it really matches, you know, the genesis of your community, which makes a lot of sense. And I think it's also just an example of, I think, this is what we'll start to see more and more. I feel like co-working spaces sort of went in a little bit of a generic direction for a while where everybody's sort of learning the business and kind of doing the standard work for freelancers and startup space. And I think we'll start to see more unique spaces that kind of just are a good fit for a neighborhood or a specific environment. And you're certainly fits that bill.
Well, Jamie, I also want to say, so I have a second location that is in more of a traditional office building and that has mostly private offices.
Ah, yeah.
So that was kind of the expansion. That's because businesses that really have multiple team members, really once you hit 3 or 4, they don't really, the rooms don't really fit well for them and they're not flexible enough.
Yep.
That there is a lot of benefit to being in a traditional kind of built out office space. And a lot of businesses like the look and feel of them. And yep. You can make them fun and funky. I would say maybe it's because I'm in a unique space. It really serves the individual well versus kind of companies, because it might not fit the image that a company wants to portray.
Yep.
But as an individual, you really aren't looking for the space to be your branding as much. You're really going for the atmosphere and feel of the space.
No, it makes perfect sense. And your second location is just another great example of kind of just shifting to market needs and understanding what makes sense for a population. So at least in your original space, you just have this really amazing community, I think especially because your population is more remote workers. And I think there's a perception that people have that freelancers and startups are more interested in community than the corporate worker. So tell us about your community and kind of what the events that you do do. I mean, you just have this outstanding show rate for your events. Whenever you tell me, you're like, oh, we did this thing for Halloween and like 40 people showed up. And
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one thing that remote workers are really looking for, they're not amenities heavy. Mm-hmm. So they really just want a comfortable seat, good coffee, strong Wi-Fi, and then awesome people. Versus small businesses and startups, they care more about amenities. It's just kind of how things have evolved and been noticed. So really, the way you attract remote workers and you retain remote workers is by giving them that great community. Otherwise, their businesses pretty much provide all the other things that they need. So they just really want awesome people to be around. And since we've always been remote worker heavy, which means we put an emphasis on community because we realize that's really what they're coming here for. And that's why I joined a co-working space. It's kind of been 5 years on that culture is just kind of built on itself and grown over time. How we started that culture was not only did we had the critical like 10 community members when you first join. So we started off with a community that was already kind of like curated, people excited about co-working and wanting to come together. My role was just to kind of like poke the bear and just start conversations. You know, it's just like if you walk in and it's a stale space, it's most likely because they really don't know anyone. They only know you. You're the only person as the community manager. You're the only person that they've interacted with since joining the space. And so I'm that commonality between everyone. So my job is to kind of start conversations, but kind of position people when I'm having that conversation, maybe in the louder area, to where other people are hearing the conversation and can pull people in and make that connection and then kind of fade away over time. So I remember when we first opened, we had 10 members, but the space was way too big for 10 members. I didn't furnish all of the rooms and I kept certain doors closed. So people couldn't even work in there. So I kind of forced this density into people to where we only used half the space for the first year. And so even when we had only 15 members, most of the people were working next to each other on the first floor of the place. So it had more of that comfortable co-working feel. And then as we got more members, I furnished more rooms and opened up the space. And so we kind of just played around with the space to create that small community feeling with me just kind of being the instigator and then knowing when to walk away. That first year, I would go on longer afternoon walks that maybe lasted an hour and a half, just so I wasn't the central hub for activity. Because everyone always gets up and walks around after they sat at their desk for 2 hours or they just got done with a conference call. And so then they start walking around and they would always come to me, I noticed, because I was that commonality. I was something that they were very comfortable talking to and they just wanted to chit chat for 5 or 10 minutes or so. So by me going on these longer walks, I wasn't that person that they would turn around and start chit-chatting with as a form of relaxation. They would start to talk to other people. What we then also did was we grabbed yard games. So we play a lot of like cornhole, basically, because it's so approachable. Everyone can do it.
Oh, right? Totally. I feel the same way about it. I'm like a terrible bowler, but I'll do cornhole any day. And right, you just sort of start talking to grab somebody and takes 10 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever.
Right. It's that perfect after conference call, like kind of release. And only 2 people can play it or 4 people can play it. Right. And so you can go and talk to one person if they want to play, or you can get 4 people. And usually it's always kind of like there's always like 4 people that want to play. And then you just start chit chatting out in the yard and everyone kind of gets to know each other. And then when they're walking in, they're usually still having a conversation. So when they walk in, they're having this conversation. That once again fills the air of the co-working space with conversation that then other people can kind of jump into. So it constantly creates this pervasive culture of just being friends by having washers and people having these moments of conversation that is very relaxing and very natural. I do have to kind of instigate it at first, and I do have to provide the tools that cause people to have these relaxing conversations, these friendship conversations. But it doesn't take much. I just have to be thoughtful on how I get people together and give them the tools to have those moments. Another big thing is take yourself to lunch Fridays. So I gave it a title, right? So
yep.
It's Friday lunch. Every office does it, and every co-working space should do it. But I call it Take Yourself to Lunch Fridays. I stole that name from someone. I think Liz.
I was going to say, I kind of want to steal it now.
Yeah, but it gives the title of like, hey, dude, I'm not going to pay for your lunch.
Yep.
Like, don't think like I'm going to do that. But it gives it a title to where it kind of gives it an invite open to everyone to join. So it's like, you don't need to be invited. It's posted up there. It's like, hey, it's Take Yourself to Lunch Fridays. And now that we've been doing it for so many years, there's always two people that come in by 10 o'clock on Fridays, and they immediately start like, kind of like asking where we're going to lunch. What they're really doing is no one's thought about it yet. They're putting the bug in everyone's ear
yeah.
so that they pick the place where they want to go. They're like, oh, you know, Fridays is now our busiest day. Most co-working spaces.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The slowest day. So it allows me to have this one like catalyst day of bringing the community together that doesn't cost me anything. It allows me to kind of shift the members around to what's usually the slowest day to now being the business day. So I'm kind of creating this equilibrium throughout the week. I can use events to kind of balance the days out so I can have more members in the space, because it's not like there's going to be 40 people here one day and then only 10 people on another day. I can use events like this to kind of even it out so it's like 30 people every single day. You know what? One statement that it's so popular is I have three members that got different jobs, went down to one day a week, and they come in on Fridays just
nice.
So that they can
lunch.
Come. Yeah.
That's great.
So it's one of those success stories, and all it is because I gave a title to something. You know, washers is another example in cornhole. The yard games is during the summer months. We have a 5-month season. Each month is kind of like a quarter to where we have competitions. We keep track every month of wins and losses. And it just kind of creates that competitive spirit to where people want to play a little bit more, or more people play washers and cornhole
more.
It's
like a little bit more of an excuse, just kind of like the take yourself to lunch. Sometimes people just need like those little things to give themselves permission to do it.
Yeah. And you know what? The more times they play, that means the more people they invite to
right.
play with.
And same thing for lunch. The more often you go to lunch, the more people you get to know. And then the more people that will go to lunch, then it just kind of feeds on itself.
Yeah. And so now that I have all these things kind of going, it's that pervasive community, that culture of friendliness that kind of just spreads throughout the place very naturally.
So if you miss a Friday, do they go to lunch without you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably only go to lunch like half the time.
Perfect.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. So give a couple of examples of some of the bigger like after work events, like don't you do a kickball game?
Yeah, we do kickball with other co-working spaces.
Yeah.
And we've kind of expanded that to be just other ad agencies as well as creative agencies.
Okay.
And that's another way. I started doing that. So going beyond just competing against co-working spaces, but competing against creative agencies. And that was for our freelancers to build more connections. And then for also the ad agency to get to know us as well. And so that we become a resource. So it was just a natural way for our communities to get to know each other. Because I wanted to support the freelancers that are here.
Yep. Natural networking. I love that.
Yeah. And co-working spaces, you know, there are only about 6 co-working spaces that even in Denver that said they were even like interested in competing in kickball. And only one of them actually ever followed through and showed up. They really just didn't have the community, I noticed, that cared about kickball.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of had to expand it. And the ad agencies was a very natural, beneficial way to go about doing it. Some other big events. The other big one is a board game night that then is a potluck. I mean, people love sharing food.
And board games.
And board games.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's been a very successful. Like, we'll have 5 board game sessions going on. That's an exaggeration. Let's say 3 to 4 board game sessions going on. And just a ton of food. I mean, people just bring in all the guac, all the pasta dishes, desserts and dips, and it just becomes this feast. And it's after hours. people can bring their husbands and wives, their significant others, and it just becomes this bigger festival. Once again, it doesn't cost me really anything to do. Another one is a picnic barbecue, and that gives us more of that company picnic feel, because since you're a remote worker, you don't get all those joys.
Right.
And that's a great event for them to bring in their kids, because it's a park. It's always held out in a park. So then everyone gets to bring their kids.
Yep.
And then we create that stronger community. Once you get to know each other's significant others and kids, that brings everything to a whole new level.
Yeah, just a different type of relationship. And it's fun to go to work, because in a normal company, that would happen. So, right, to be able to do that as a remote worker or a freelancer is a great benefit.
Yeah. And another key is just not to overdo the events. Really doing one big event outside the regular one a month is really enough. Otherwise, you kind of, there's only a core group of people that come. And then the people that don't come that often kind of feel outside the group and excluded.
Yep.
Or they feel pressure to come. And by not coming, they feel like they're not part of the community. And it creates that awkward tension. So it's finding that right balance.
So you've shared a lot of great examples and insights. Is there any sort of final advice you would give to someone who's just starting a space or who feels like they could work a little bit more on their community?
This is assuming that you already have some sort of a community already. So it's not necessarily the marketing efforts of building a community. Is you have to kind of be the instigator of interaction, because you are the only face that they know. We don't realize that as a community manager, because we know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might do an intro, but they don't know each other's name.
Right. Wait, something as simple as that. Like, we're not wearing name tags. And so you feel awkward if you're like, hey, dude in the blue sweater.
Right, right. But I've noticed, like, if you make a joke about that, it's like, Ashley, hey, this is Brian. You won't remember that. So feel free to add. Like,
just
kind of pull it out into the air. And then they'll be totally comfortable. And I've noticed that really happens around when we play yard games. It's people are very, like, much more comfortable. It's like, dude, I don't know your name.
Yep.
And it's cool. But the community manager has to be a casual instigator, and you have to provide the tools for people to get together without you being the anchor all the time. You can't be that central hub. A, you're going to get exhausted.
Right.
And then you can never leave the space, because then this awkward tension kind of happens when you're not there. So think of ways for you to kind of enable the community to get rolling versus being the community glue the entire time. Space design does a lot for that. Don't put everyone against the window looking outward. You're going to think that they enjoy looking outside the window, and it's also incredibly space efficient, but that also means you walk into a room of backs. And no one's facing each other and talking to each other. So really kind of think about positioning the tables for conversations to happen and for conversations to be overheard, for people to kind of butt in to offer advice. That's always the difference between a co-working space and a coffee shop, I figure, is at a coffee shop, you'll hear an interesting conversation or you know an answer to a question that they're talking about. But you're in that like fictional bubble that you can't like butt in, because they're having like a private conversation in a public space.
And then you're like the weird person who, I do that at restaurants sometimes, you know, because everybody's doing that sort of cozier seating. And then I feel like they think I'm crazy because I was just trying to be social.
Right, right. In a co-working space, I figure that's where you're allowed to butt in. And you should feel comfortable butting in, not because you're both like, oh, like it's a written rule. It's because you're friends and you see that other people are butting in because they're friends. And so you kind of have this permission. So kind of design the space for conversation to happen, open enough to conversations to be overheard as well. Have private spaces, but allow conversations to be overheard. And if you're the instigator of all this and you create your community, people will kind of all become friends and start butting in on each other's conversation in a good way.
Craig, I just want to note really quickly, I was scribbling down some notes of things I wanted to remember, and I will post the details of our conversation with links to anything that Craig mentioned and some good notes of the advice that he's given around community and some examples of what he's done in his community in the show notes for the episode. And Craig, I think it's episode number 31. So everythingcoworking.com/31. So stay tuned for that. So Craig, in addition, you have lots of good insight for doing this. You started as a coworker and now you're an operator, and you're also now helping other folks who are starting spaces or looking to grow their community by doing some consulting work. Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of what you're seeing going on in the marketplace?
Yeah, sure. So I'm working right now, and it's launching at the end of March, Coworking Catalyst with Angel, who is up in Fort Collins, a Cohere, who most people have probably heard of or should definitely check out her blog. She's a coworking space operator like me. She started a year before me, DIYer, not when coworking was well known. We started spaces both for under like $25,000. And we're starting a service where do-it-yourself co-work, DIY co-working entrepreneurs want to start their own space and kind of just need some guidance. So we're creating some packages, mostly under $1,000, all services. So kind of affordable entry points and to helping people like, hey, is this location right for me? Is this right for my community? Is this right as a business perspective? Does that make sense? So that we have that location service, then community building to where it's like, I have this community. How can I make it better, stronger, whatever the issue is? We offer advice and then also give you steps saying, hey, like, this is how you can build a community before you have a space. And then operations training, basically, like, how do we make our space efficient? What is a community manager? What does that mean? Should I put on an event every single day? Answer those types of questions and kind of formalize our advice to really helping people that want to start their own co-working space, kind of have an affordable co-working helper of people that not only have done it, but are still doing it. That's the main project. Angela and I have already worked on several projects independently and together on that. And it's been a lot of fun. And we feel this sense of joy of being able to help someone start their own kind of community space in places like Nebraska and Kansas City, and we're working on a project right now in Mongolia together. So it's been fun, it's exciting, and every time that we work on a project, we learn something new, a new problem that's very specific to that entrepreneur that we can learn from. It's been a fun project, and we're excited to kind of launch the service at the end of the month, at the end of March.
Awesome. I love it. We might have to have you back on after you do a few more projects and you kind of share what you're learning and what you're seeing. Well, so where can, if people want to learn more about you and Creative Density and your consulting, where can people find you online?
So creativedensity.com is that website. CraigBowdy.com has more of the advice that I have for co-working space entrepreneurs, kind of the DIYers. I just wrote a love affair blog post about this new printer that I got. I mean, it's amazing. It saved me a ton of money. It's by Epson. You should check it out if you run a co-working space. You'll save yourself probably $500 in the first year.
Headaches. Printing is always
It is a love letter to Epson for this workforce one. I'm unabashedly like out there for it. But so you'll find great tips there at craigbowdy.com. And then Angel and I's co-working service is for DIYers is Coworking Catalyst. And that website will be up at the end of March with some free reports on advice of business planning, financial guidance, building community. There's going to be a report about, is this a good location? And kind of guiding you through that stuff. So those are all going to be great free reports that I think everyone, even thinking about starting a co-working space, should read. But yeah, stay tuned at the end of March 2016.
And Craig's last name is B-A-U-T-E, for those that can't phonetically spell that easily. But we'll include links to that, all those sites in the show notes as well. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of your insights on community building. I really enjoyed everything you had to share. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.